I wanted to just back up, not in the reading. We've already read, and we are where we are in that. But I wanted to go back a bit and talk to you. You will remember, I think it's page 207 in our particular version of this book, The Holy War, where, or wherever it is in your version, you could know where that is, where he informs us that, that it was not only Emmanuel who withdrew himself from man's soul, but it was also Mr. God's peace. And Mr. Bunyan put it specifically in these words. He said, Mr. God's peace also laid down his commission and would, for the present, act no longer in the town of man's soul. God's peace was lost by that falling away that they, man's soul, was guilty of. And while I know that most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, I've never asked, have a copy of Bunyan's Characters by Alexander White, yet because of time and constraints in your lives, you may not have always opportunity to read from such things. So I did want to read you some of what Alexander White says about Mr. God's peace. In fact, this chapter title on Mr. God's peace is entitled Mr. God's peace, a goodly person and a sweet-natured gentleman. Mr. White says, John Bunyan is always at his very best in allegory. In some other departments, the work of John Bunyan has had many superiors. But when he lays down his head on his hand and begins to dream, as we see him in some of the old woodcuts, then he is alone. There is no one near him. We have not a few greater divines in pure divinity. We have not a few greater divines in pure divinity than John Bunyan, and I say a hearty amen to that. We have some far better expositors of Scripture than John Bunyan, and we have some far better preachers. John Bunyan, at his best, cannot open up a deep scripture like that of the Prince of Expositors, Thomas Goodwin. John Bunyan, in all his books, has nothing to compare for intellectual strength and for theological grasp with Goodwin's chapter on the peace of God in his sixth book on the work of the Holy Spirit. John Bunyan cannot set forth divine truth in an orderly method and in a built-up body like John Owen. He cannot Platonize divine truth like his Puritan contemporary John Howe. He cannot soar high as heaven in the beauty and sweetness of gospel holiness like Jonathan Edwards. He has nothing of the philosophical depth of Richard Hooker, and he has nothing of the vast learning of Jeremiah Taylor. But when John Bunyan's mind and heart begin to work through his imagination, his language is not ours, till my belief God's, 'tis my belief God speaks, no tinker has such powers. In the beginning of his chapter on speaking peace, Thomas Goodwin tells his reader that he's going to fully couch all his intendments under the metaphor and an allegory. But Goodwin's reader has read and reread the great chapter and has not yet discovered where the metaphor and the allegory came in and where they went out. But Bunyan does not need to advertise his readers that he's going to couch his teaching in imagination. But having, and this is quoting him, but having now my method by the end, still as I pulled it came, and so I pinned it down, until at last it came to be, for length and breadth, the bigness that you see. The blessed prince, he begins, did also ordain a new officer in the town, a goodly person he was. His name was Mr. Godspeace. This man was set over my Lord Will, my Lord Mayor, and Mr. Recorder, the subordinate preacher, Mr. Mine, and over all the natives of the town of Man's Soul. I shall step aside at this point and shall let Jonathan Edwards, this is White writing, I shall step aside at this point and let Jonathan Edwards comment on this sweet-natured gentleman and his heavenly name, Mr. Godspeace. Says Jonathan Edwards, Godspeace has an exquisite sweetness. It is exquisitely sweet because it has so firm a foundation in the everlasting rock. It is sweet also because it is so perfectly agreeable to reason. It is sweet also because it riseth from holy and divine principles, which as they are the virtue, so they are the proper happiness of man. This peace is exquisitely sweet also because of the greatness of the good that the saints enjoy, being no other than the infinite bounty and fullness of God, who is the foundation of all good. It is sweet also because it shall be enjoyed to perfection hereafter. End of quote. This enthusiastic student has counted up, an enthusiastic student has counted up the number of times that this divine word sweetness occurs in Edwards' writing, and has proved that no other word of the kind occurs so often to this author of the religious affection. And I can well believe it. Mr. Godspeace, the new governor of Man's Soul, was not a native of the town. I made that point, by the way. I stressed that point to you. He was not a native to this town. He came down with his prince from the court above. He was not a native. Let that attribute of his be written in letters of gold on every gate and door and wall within his jurisdiction. When you need the governor and would seek him at any time or in any place in all the town and cannot find him, recollect yourself where he came from. He may have returned thither again. Boy, that's a profound word there. That's a great word of instruction. Anytime you're looking for Mr. Godspeace and can't find him, just remember where he came from. He might have gone back. John Bunyan has couched his deepest instruction to you in that single sentence in which he says, quote, Mr. Godspeace was not a native of the town. John Bunyan has gathered up many gospel scriptures into that single allegorical sentence. He has made many old and familiar passages fresh and full of life again in that one metaphorical sentence. It is the work of genius to set forth the want and the well-known in a clear, simple, and at the same time surprising light like that. There is a peace that is native and natural to the town of Man's Soul, and to understand that peace, its nature, its grounds, its extent, its range, is most important to the theologian and to the saint. But to understand the peace of God, that supreme peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, that is the highest triumph of the theologian and the highest wisdom of the saint. As John Bunyan has shown how sure and true a successor of the apostles he is, just in his portrait of this sweet-natured gentleman who was not a native of Mansoul, but who came from that same court from which Emmanuel himself came. And it is just this outlandishness of this sweet-natured gentleman. It is just this heavenly origin and divine extraction of his that makes him sometimes and in some things to surpass all earthly understandings. "I am come someday soon," said a divinity student to me the other Sabbath. This is Dr. White speaking. "I am coming someday soon," said a divinity student to me the other Sabbath night, "to have you explain and clear up the atonement to me." "I should be glad to see you," I said, "but not on that errand." No, Paul himself could not do it. Paul said that the atonement and the peace of it passed all his understanding. And John Bunyan says here that not the prince only, but his officer, Mr. God's Peace, also was not native to the town of Mansoul, but came straight down from heaven. Governor God's Peace had not many in the town of Mansoul to whom he could confide all his thoughts and with whom he could consult. But there were two officer friends of his stationed in the town with whom he was every day in close correspondence, Captain Credence and Captain Goodhope. Their so close intimacy will not be wondered at when it is known that those three officers had all come together with Emmanuel to conquer. But the thing that always in the long run justified the governorship of Mr. God's Peace and reconciled all the other officers to his supremacy was the way that the city settled down and prospered under his benignant rule. All the other officers admitted that somehow his promotion and power had been the salvation of Mansoul. They all extolled their prince's far-seeing wisdom in the selection, advancement, and absolute seat of Mr. God's Peace. And it would ill have become them to have said anything else, for they had little else to do but bask in the sun and enjoy the honors of their respective offices as long as Mr. God's Peace held sway and had all things in the city to his own mind. Now it was on all hands admitted, as we read again with renewed delight, that there were no jars, no chiding, no interfering, no unfaithful doings in the town of Mansoul under his reign. But every man kept close to his own employment. The gentry, the officers, the soldiers, and all in place observed their orders. And as for the women and children, they all followed their business joyfully. They would work and sing, from morning till night, so that quite through the town of Mansoul, now nothing was to be found but harmony, quietness, joy, and health. What more could be said of any governorship of any town than that? The heavenly court itself, out of which Governor God's Peace had come down, was not better governed than that. Harmony, quietness, joy, and health. No, the New Jerusalem itself will not surpass that. And this lasted, Bunyan said, all summer. Some wonderful, instructive comments Dr. White shares on Mr. God's Peace. And when we lose that, we lose a great deal, do we not? As long as Mr. God's Peace is the governor as long as he retains his governorship, all is well in man's soul. But when that peace is disturbed, all is a mess. And what would cause it to be disturbed? Well, Mr. God's peace lays down his commission. And why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because man's soul has grieved Emmanuel away. And if Emmanuel's grieved away, then out goes Mr. God's peace. He will lay down his commission. Thought it was a good thing to review that today. We have other business to do here. And so we're having a very brief lesson with that. But it's one that can, and I do encourage you. I think back when we first started this study, I recommended to all of you I think there's three or four volumes of Alexander White's, and I'm putting this on the tape for the sake of those that get these messages by way of internet. Alexander White, there's three or four volumes, I forget exactly how many, of his entitled Bunyan Characters. These were lectures delivered at St. George's Free Church in Edinburgh by Alexander White originally. And he has one on the Holy War. He has, I think, two on the Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe another, I forget. But anyway, Alexander White's Characters of Bunyan. Well worth purchasing and putting in your library and reading. The chapters on Holy War alone are just wonderful, wonderful, and Mr. White clearly was a scholar, a student of Bunyan, profound scholar of Bunyan. So I encourage you to read those at your and read them. You don't have to read them like a science book, expecting to have to recite everything. Read them with thought and meditation, and give heed. Remember, they were delivered as lectures, and they are for your instruction and admonition, and look at them in that way. Any questions or comments? I know that's very brief today, but any questions or comments on on Mr. God's peace are very profound for us. One, that he was not a native of that town. And two, that he laid down his commission when Emmanuel was grieved away. And we all find it to be so, do we not? Peace of God is gone. And it's very difficult when that happens.